Scripture lesson this morning is Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. Beginning at verse number 10. Isaiah chapter 7. Beginning at verse number 10. Isaiah 7, beginning verse number 10. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I attempt, the Lord. He said, Hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil, to choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. Amen. I want to talk about, for just a few moments, God with us. God with us. I want to talk about, to try to make this clear, somebody that we all know of, he's alive, and one of us here, Tanya Bryant works with him. Cory Booker, the mayor of Newark. Some of you might know him personally, and we all know about the city of Newark. It's New Jersey's largest city, and it really is not the city that it used to be years ago. When I was a boy, I did a little research. There were like 450,000 people used to live in Newark. You know, went through the riots. There, it had a lot of industry and a lot of business. Over the years, businesses moved out, and Newark has been riddled with crime. And now, from 450,000 to probably somewhere around 250,000 people that lives there. And then, the most recent mayor did some time in prison. And then Cory Booker ran for... the mayor, and won. And Cory Booker is a Rhodes Scholar, and he graduated from Stanford University and Yale Law School and Oxford University. And then he moved to Newark, and then he decided he was going to live in the projects, in the public housing of Newark. He became a councilman, and then eventually he became the mayor of Newark, and he... My mind is why would a Rhodes Scholar, why would a Stanford graduate go to Newark and live in the public project? You know, most of us who grow up in public projects, you know, it's all right for the time, but we want to move out. We want to, you know, but Cory decided it, and then he ran for mayor and he became mayor, and then he. I remember I heard Cory, and probably I think I met him for the first time out at the Democratic National Convention when it was in Denver, Colorado, before Barack Obama won the presidency. And Cory, he told this story. I might not get it quite right, but I wrote a note down. He said he was talking to this old lady in Newark, and he wanted to run for the mayor of Newark, and this old lady said to him, "Boy, what do you see?" And he said, "Well, I see poverty and violence." And she said, "Boy, you can't help me. We need somebody that can see hope in the midst of despair." And so I got a clue as why this Rhodes Scholar decided, you know, he was going to run for mayor, because this old lady helped him to see that they needed somebody that could see hope in the midst of despair. And then as I was reading a little bit about Cory and what he's done, you know, since he's been mayor, you've read about these various persons who are donating millions of dollars to Newark for education, and I think Oprah's donated something, and others have donated something. And then Corey, they tell me he's a brave brother, you know. He decides he's going to ride around in the police cars, I guess, late at night, and so that they can deal with crime on the streets. And he's gonna get in the police officer's face and say, you know, you got to get out of this car. And then there was a big story, I don't know, in USA Today and Wall Street Journal and New York Times, that Newark finally, I think it was March of this year, Newark finally had 1 month where nobody was killed. So I don't know anything about Cory Booker's personal life. I don't know anything about that. But I like the fact that he had the nerve to come dwell amongst them. I mean, that to me says something about who Christ is, that Christ, the God of the universe, decided he was going to come and dwell amongst us and live amongst us that we could be better. Now, I don't know anything about Corey's Christian life, but I like the fact that he did not run away from the people. You know, sometimes when we get a little education and we get a little money, the first thing we're going to do is move away from our people. God amongst us. I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm glad that God decided to come and live close. I was reading this other story about this rabbi's son. This rabbi had a little boy who had some serious psychological problems. The little boy went home one day and took off all his clothes, went out in the backyard and squatted down and just started making noise like a turkey. Gobble, 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 gobble. And the psychiatrist, you know, was troubled. They sent the boy, you know, to all kinds of psychiatric help and psychiatrists. And as soon as the boy would get home, he would come back in the backyard, take off all of his clothes, squat down and start, you know, gobbling like a turkey. And finally, a friend of the psychiatrist went out in the backyard, took off all his clothes, went down and squatted in the backyard and started gobbling just like a turkey. And just did that for a few weeks. And finally, because he had gone out there, the friend, and sat down next to the little boy and gobbled like he finally said, "Well, do you think maybe we can put on a shirt now?" So the little boy said, "Yeah." So they went back out there, naked as a jaybird, except for the shirt, and they squat down and started, you know, gobbling like a turkey. And then another day or two later, the friend said to the little boy, "Do you think that maybe we can put on some pants now?" The little boy said, "Yes, I think we can put on some pants now." And so he went back out there again. Another week or two, a week passed by, and now they're out in the backyard, the friend and this little boy, and they're both squatting down, and they're both just gobbling like that. So finally, the friend says, "Do you think that we can, you know, go out in the public now and just sit? The point is that when you are down and out, you need somebody to come sit with you. And Christ came and sat with you and I when we were in our sins, when nobody wanted to be around us, when we were vile. Christ came and he dwelt among us and loved us till we could come back to our right minds, that we could come in here in our suits and our clothes and worship him and praise him. When we were out in the world, he loved us in spite of ourselves. And he, now we are able to come in here and say we are respectable people. We need somebody that will sit with us. Do I have a witness in here? We need somebody that will love us when we are unlovable. We need somebody that will forgive us. And Christ coming on Christmas Day, I don't know how you feel about it. I'm glad that Christ did not come to condemn, but he came to forgive. He could have came to condemn us, but he came to forgive us and win us back into a right relationship with our God and with our Father. Amen. You know, it's a terrible thing when you're down and out. And sometimes this is the way we are. Sometimes when we're down and out, nobody wants to be around us. When you mess up big time, when you fall, I mean when you really fall, the people that you thought were your friends, nowhere around. Nowhere to be found. Won't even answer your phone call. They got caller ID now. I'm not talking to him. I'm not talking to her. But God, who was in Christ. Fact of the matter is, he gets, the lower you fall, the closer he gets. And he reminds us, I came just for this particular moment to help you to get back on your feet again. And I'm going to go, even though it's going to make me look less than God, I love you so much, I'm going to go die on a cross. Even though it looks like I'm a criminal, I'm going to go and die on a cross. Yes. Even though you deserve the punishment, I'm going to take the whipping for you. Yes. I'm going to go out there and squat like a turkey and act like I'm crazy. Yes. Just so you can come back into your right mind. Yes. Yes, I don't know how you feel about it, but if you ever wanted to worship him, thank you, Jesus goes right there. Thank you, Lord. For coming to be by my side. I was reading several little stories about Christ coming to dwell amongst us. I read this last story. I'm going to finish because I want to finish so we can get to the Sunday school program. I read this story about this little boy. He was 8 years old, but he was malnourished as a child. And so he was very, very small for his age. He looked like he was like 4 or 5 years old rather than 8 years. So it's Christmas, and he grew up in a kind of a nursing, in not a nursing home, in a children's home. And it was Christmas, and they had all the presents, and all the other kids were out excited, and they were waiting for their gifts. And this little boy, he was so skinny and so scrawny, he didn't feel good about himself. And so while the other kids were gathering around to get their toys, this little boy got up under the bed. And so the minister came to visit, and he wondered where this little boy was and found him under the bed. And the little boy was skinny, so he could have just dragged him out from under the bed, but he decided not. He didn't drag him under the bed. He decided to get under the bed with him. And so he got under the bed, and he started talking about, well, you know, Johnny, you know, we got some wonderful toys for you up there, and the Christmas tree is decorated. And little Johnny's just crying and crying, and he started talking to Johnny, and he just started to say, well, you know, we got all kind of toys for you, and they got some fruitcake and some cake and some eggnog up there. And little Johnny's just crying, and finally, the minister just didn't know what else to say. He just laid there. He just was quiet, just lay there under the bed with little Johnny. And finally, little Johnny reached over and grabbed his hand. And finally, he said, do you think maybe, because, you know, it was tight quarters under that bed for the minister. He said, well, you think maybe we can get up and I can stand up on the hard floor? I said, little Johnny said, yes. So he stood up. And little Johnny felt good about himself, and he started enjoying himself. The point is, God will come and spend time with us. And as Christians, sometimes you don't have to know what to say. Just be present with people sometimes. Just let them hold your hand sometimes. Just stay with them for a moment. Stay with them in the pain for a minute. Stay with them for suffering for a moment. And I was reading this story, I was thinking about myself. And I was thinking about particularly women in ministry. Sometimes men, but women usually. I was thinking about how impatient I am at times. And I was thinking about, you can be impatient at the wrong time. People are really hurting, really in pain. And you know, somebody like me can, okay, just get over it. But I find that women in ministry, women in general, usually, I mean, there are exceptions. There are some impatient women too. But usually, have a little more patience. We'll hold on for a little while. And sometimes they don't have a clue of what to say, but they'll cry with you. And they'll give you some handkerchiefs. And they'll hug you for 30 minutes. Somebody that will be patient with us.